Good morning again. How are we feeling? Lizzie said we feel a bit lighter. Why don't you have a seat? I know as we've moved through our service, there's, you know, lots going on in people's lives and things like that, but not to make light of that, but that is our life, isn't it? Our life has things going on, and it's about how we journey that, how we navigate that. You know what the cool thing about the body of Christ is that, you don't do it alone. You get to do that together. And I think that's something sometimes, if you've been part of church life for a long time, we can almost start to feel like we're just sort of part of this thing and we take it for granted. But we're part of something much more. We're actually part of a supernatural body, the body of Christ. And it's an exceptional thing to be part of. So I'm excited about the word this morning. I was just reminded, if you have got mobile phones and you've just forgotten to put it on silent, just flick the little button so you're not embarrassed. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that God wants to do the impossible with your possible. Has anybody got some things ahead at the moment? You think, oh, that almost feels a bit impossible. Yes. There's all sorts of things, aren't there? Like I would look around here and there'd be people, and you're praying and you're believing things for members of your family. And that it just feels a little bit more in the impossible realm. Well, that's okay, because we've got a God who specializes in the impossible. Maybe somebody else, you're on a health journey, and it's sort of like, that's in the impossible realm. Well, we've got a God that specializes in the impossible. Maybe somebody else, it's you're at a turning point in your life. It's a bit like, well, what's next? What do I need? What's God doing? And it's like, you've got these dreams and they feel like they're in the impossible realm. God is a God of the impossible. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. When we're aligned with God and each other, we move ourselves to a position where God can do the impossible with your possible. And it says this in Proverbs 16, verse 3. It says, commit your works and your plans will be established. Has anybody ever, if you followed Jesus for a while, and you can probably think back at a time where you had a good idea, and before you knew it, you ran off and did it, and then it just sort of all went to custard. And then you look back and think, well, did I commit that? Did I actually bring that concept? Did I bring that idea? Did I bring that decision? Did I actually bring that before God and find out what He thought about it? Did I, even if it was a good idea, but did I put it in a place where He was able to bless that? And I think sometimes we have these ideas, and they're not necessarily bad, but are they committed ideas? You see, if you commit your works, then your plans will be established. And I think no one wants to be part of putting their life and sowing their time, sowing their energy into something that doesn't matter. You want to sow your life into something that would be established. And this year we've been talking about the fact that we want to dedicate our plans. We want to dedicate our whatever we have on our hearts. We want to dedicate our vision as a church. We want to dedicate those things to God and actually bring Him into it. What do we do when we dedicate something? Well, we're actually, when you dedicate something, you actually close off a whole lot of other decisions. You know, when we dedicate, sometimes we talk about dedicating a child. Like here in our church, we don't do infant baptisms because, you know, we believe that that is something that you step into and you choose to do when the time is right. But sometimes people actually want to get a child dedicated. What are we doing? Parents will come and we'll pray for the child and we'll say, as a family, we're dedicating this child. So the parents are actually before God saying, we want to dedicate this child to you. And you're in a sense, you're closing off, you know, other options. You're not dedicating that child to, you know, something that's destructive. You're not dedicating that child to a whole lot of things. You're actually dedicating it to the will of God. And when we dedicate our plans, you're actually closing off other options and saying, I'm all to Jesus. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I freely give. What's the difference between that freely give and it's like, you know, some of us, I just would, I believe that breakthrough is coming. I believe there's breakthrough in the body because, you know, for so long there have been people that are passionate about Jesus and then there's a whole raft of the body that just sort of go along and we do stuff because we should do it. All to Jesus, I freely give. In other words, I do it because I want to. I do it because He's called me. I do it because I've got no other option. That's what it means to dedicate. And then we pray. Pray is that process of moving ourself from our will to God's will. Praying actually brings us into the presence of God. Praying acknowledges who He is. Pray actually connects your natural with the supernatural and brings that into your realm. Pray, you don't pray so that God gets fired up to work on your behalf. You see, my kids come to me all the time and they try to get me involved in something that they want and they try to get me to emotionally engage with whatever it is they want. You see, God doesn't need to do that. He's already emotionally engaged with your needs. He's already on there. It's about you moving to a position where you can listen to Him and understand Him and He can move in your life and your world. You're not trying to move God. You're moving to His will. And then we need to be aligned with His will and His body. And I want to talk about that this morning. I shared this last Sunday morning briefly, but last week I was at the Speedway with Kyle, our 8-year-old who's quite a petrol head, and he loves. It was funny. We were driving into the Speedway, and I didn't go too early because the weather was pretty horrible. And I was driving in, and the races were on, and he's, as soon as we get there, I think one of the windows was down, and he could hear the cars and the noise and the atmosphere, and then I think I put the window up. He goes, Dad, no, put the windows down, leave the windows down. I want to be able to hear it. And then when we get in there, you can sort of sit up where Leonie does, in the grandma's position, up on the bank with all her family. It's quite impressive. And or Kyle, he goes, he wants to sit right down next to the fence where you can actually watch the pieces of clay come off the tire of the cars and hit you in the face. That's where Kyle and I were sitting. So we had a good view of a lot of things. And then on the main, what they call the feature race of the night, the cars are out there and the race is on. And in speedway racing, what they do is when there's a bit of a crash or a pile up, the cars sort of continue to circulate and then they regroup and start again. And often that can happen a tedious amount of times. So it was one of these crashes and a car had tried to go through a gap that just wasn't quite wide enough. And it hit the wall a little bit. And it was the car, I think it was in second position, it was doing really well. And another thing that happens in speedway racing, the cars can sort of go onto the infield in the middle of the track and sort of get themselves organised to go again. And it's in there, and the commentator is saying, oh yes, I think he's all right, he's still moving, I think he'll join the race. Now what the commentator couldn't see, that I could see from my vantage point up to the track, is that one of his front wheels wasn't facing the same way as the other one. And so the wheels were out of a line. Now this car probably had, 700 horsepower, and it had all the power in the world to drive the car. I could see on the infield it was pushing forward, but it wouldn't steer where the driver wanted it to go because one wheel was facing the wrong way. You see, we can have all the power. We can actually have capacity. We can even have our own will. But if we're not aligned with God and His purpose and His people, well, I think we tend to live frustrated and ineffective. Because what we find is we're actually not aligned. And so I want to unpack what it means to actually live aligned this morning. And if we don't live aligned, it's like we're revving up, we're spinning our wheels, but we're not actually going anywhere. Just before Jesus was about to leave his disciples and go back to heaven, and he shares with them about how you can live effectively in a hostile world. And he says in John 14:31, he says, I love the Father and do exactly what my Father commanded me. You see, number one secret, if you like, the number one attribute that was all about the success of Jesus, who came to a hostile world, was misunderstood, faced continual opposition, was abused, and as we know, eventually died the most horrible, debilitating, and dishonoring death. What was the secret to living in that? Is that he was 100% totally aligned with his Father's will. You see, as we submit our will to our Heavenly Father and we dedicate ourselves to His leading, I believe and I know we will live fruitful, effective lives together. Who would like to live a more fruitful and effective life this year? Come on, I think we all would, wouldn't we? So if you're taking notes this morning, number one, to live aligned with God and each other, number one, this is number one. Now I think this point here, the world that we live in at the moment, I'm getting you ready for it, aren't you? I'll talk for half an hour before you, and then lose you. But number one thing that is so important in this world that we live in at the moment, if we want to live a life that is aligned with God and each other, we've got, number one, we've got to align our belief. We have got to align our belief. And you say, oh yeah, I believe. Well listen, here's Jesus is speaking to the disciples here, and these guys had, had been with him. The Bible doesn't exactly show us a complete linear timeline of when everybody joined, but we can draw the assumption that most of them have been with him longer than 2 years. So they've been hanging out, quite in at this intense 2 to 3 year period they'd been together. And they're here. Jesus has already died. He has risen from the dead. Like that would blow your mind. He is there. What more do you need? And here they are, and he's having this discussion. And in John 14:5-9, Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. And in one way it seems like a fair enough question. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So here's, you know, Thomas gets a bad rap being doubting Thomas, but sometimes he asks the question everybody else is thinking. Jesus, you're talking about this stuff, but how can we know the way? And Jesus is like, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, when you know what you believe, you are less stressed about the where. When you know what you believe, you are less stressed about the where. Now I've noticed in some of the journey that we've had with our particular unique family is as we've worked on security in the family, we actually have more flexibility to do all sorts of things. See, back in the early days, any sort of change would actually unsettle people. And the more that you know you belong, you know who Jesus is, the less you're worried about the where.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
How many times have you asked where, what, how? Some people like that more than others, aren't they? Some people go with the flow. Others go, oh, where are we going? What's going to happen? Oh, I've got to get this organized. I need to have a linear pattern of it all. That's to the control freaks in the room. And sometimes when we're doing leadership stuff, we talk about the where, what, the how and all those things. Yeah, they're important. But more important than the where, the what, the how is the who. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to live a line, that's the most important question you can answer. It's not, well, am I going to live here or am I going to work there or am I going to do this? The most important question is the who. Am I aligned with Jesus? And then he's going to work out the how and the where and all those things, and you will find yourself being able to move in that position in alignment. See, when I first got a car and started to drive it in a way that perhaps it wasn't designed to be driven. And the first thing that started happening, it was sort of connected to the particular type of car it was, is that I could not keep the front wheels in alignment. I remember I used to take it to the service station over the road from where I worked and get them to put it on their wheel line machine and line the wheels. And then I'd take it out and drive around and do all the things that the young boys used to do in those days. They don't do that anymore. We're not encouraging that. We just go to the speedway instead. And then, you know, a day later, the wheels would be out of alignment. And the car would go, but I'd be going around the corner and it'd be... You know, and it's smoke's coming off the front wheels and it's cutting expensive tyres out. It's all happening because the wheels would not stay in alignment. And I actually, what I had to actually fix it because of what I was wanting to do with it, I had to actually change some of the steering geometry. I had to change some of the parts so that they were strong enough to stay in alignment. And some of us are trying to do things. Some of us are trying to go places, and we've got the will, we've got the power, but we haven't actually got some of the critical structure in place so that we actually are aligned with the purposes of God. And the thing is, the answer is not in the where, the what, the how. The answer is in the who. Is Jesus your only way? Is he the only one that you're aligned with? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe Jesus is the only way? Do you believe that he is not your truth this week, but he is the truth, the only truth? Do you believe that he is the life? Or perhaps you've entertained at some point in your life, or you know people that have, or you hear this sort of fruit salad or buffet style faith. Have you had those conversations? And you might think, oh, yeah, you have it in the community. You know, I've had conversations with those people around church. Oh, yeah, I don't think that matters very much. And, yeah, God works these things out. And, you know, I can take a little bit of this. And, oh, I can take a little bit of that from that religion. And, you know, all those things that actually get thrown in. And suddenly our faith, which is supposed to be all about Jesus, there's a bit of that and a bit of this, and it actually becomes watered down or even contaminated to a point where Jesus is no longer the truth. He's just a little bit of truth. That doesn't bring alignment. And we live in days where there's lots of pressure to water down our faith, to add to our faith thinking that is contrary to the truth. Have you seen that? It's going on a lot. It's going on in the church. But you know what? It's interesting. The parts of the church that are growing and thriving and will continue to grow and thrive are the parts of the church who have said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way. God will do the impossible with your possible when you make Jesus your only way, your complete truth, and all your life. I just thought that song we sang, All to Jesus I Surrender. Wow. If we want to be aligned, we've got to align our belief. And to align your belief, you've actually got to surrender some stuff. You've got to say, I won't entertain that stuff. Verse 7, Jesus keeps talking. He says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough. Jesus answered, don't you know, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So to be aligned with God, we need to know him. Jesus says, hey, you know, you've been hanging out all this time. And well, so it wasn't only Thomas in this case. Philip's got in on the act and he says, well, you know, Philip's got a bit of a point here, but just show us the Father and that'll be enough. We'll be cool. And Jesus is saying, hey, yeah, we've been hanging together for the last 3 years. You've seen me and I am totally aligned with the Father. If you see me, you've seen the Father. You see, you can be around Jesus. You can sing a few worship songs at church. You can sort of come in a little bit here and there, or you can know him. Yeah. Yeah. You can be around him, or you can know him. How many of you have worked with somebody in the workplace? And you see them every day and you chat to them at the coffee line or you do this or you do that and you sort of, it's niceties, you know their name, but you don't know them. You don't know what they care about. You don't know what their family's like. You don't know what they do on the weekend. You don't know what fires them up. It's just sort of this very superficial relationship. And sometimes, you know, it's almost like Jesus is like that. We know him for what we hear and what we've seen, but you know him personally. Do you know him because you are close enough to know who he actually is? And that's really what he was saying here to his disciples. He's saying, well, you know me. I'm aligned with the Father. If you really know me, you will know the Father. And how do we really know him? Well, we've got to read. We've got to read his word. We've got to pray. We've got to listen. We've got to spend time in his presence. We've got to think about the word. All right, to live aligned with God and each other. Number two. You ready, Lonesy? So you got your belief aligned. That's okay. But what do you got to do after that? You've got to align your thinking. You've got to align your thinking. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." That's it. You've got it, Greg. Transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is, by testing, you may discern what the will of God is, what is God's, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Wow. And you've got these two sections here of that verse, and they're linked by the word therefore in some versions. Do not be conformed to this world. This one uses but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. Paul's practically demonstrating here that Christian living is inseparably bound to Christian belief. And James says faith without works is dead. In other words, if you believe something but it's not outworking in your life, well, it's sort of a shallow, hollow belief. It doesn't mean anything. And works, there's a lot of people in this boat, works without a correct belief system is vanity or pride. Man, that describes our world at the moment. You know, there's so much about being virtuous or having a virtuous attitude to something that's not really based on any really clear belief system. So what is it? It's vanity or pride. It's like, okay, I am doing the right thing. I am aligned with a school of thought, and it becomes a pride thing. Or in the church sometimes we don't have a relationship with Jesus and we want to work. I'm going to volunteer on this. I'm going to volunteer. We've got some exciting stuff to talk about tonight with what's going on at the Derwent Valley with a food hub and a whole lot of things. Now you can volunteer with there and that would be great, and I encourage people to do it. But you know, if we're doing that just to make ourselves feel good, it becomes vanity and pride. Wrong thinking, you might want to write this one down too. Wrong thinking cannot lead to right doing. Yeah, cool. Wrong thinking cannot lead to right doing. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." What is that saying? Sometimes we think that's this really deeply spiritual thing, and in one sense it is, where we go around praying in tongues and casting out demons and bringing these things down. But actually, it's just talking about where you let your mind go. Now, we all get weird thoughts, don't we, sometimes? You know that thing that comes into your mind, boom! And you think, where did that come from? All sorts of thoughts like that. Sometimes I'll be driving along and I see a nice car and I get a thought, yeah, I think I need that car. Now I can dwell on that thought. I can go home and put the house on the market and do a whole lot of things and go and buy that car, and then we've got nowhere to live and life's sort of gone in a bad direction. Now that sounds ridiculous, but sometimes we do stuff that's silly because a random thought or a random idea comes in our head and we don't actually put it where it needs to be. So, for example, here's how it works. We're at work and we're a bit busy, and I talk to Lizzie about something and I don't use my best tone.
It's Lizzie.
And she can go away and think, Dave always does that because he doesn't really like me. In fact, I know that he does that because he's trying to get at this thing in me. And she can keep thinking about that and mulling over it, and it starts to gain traction. So then it becomes what the Bible calls a stronghold, because the next time I come to talk to her, her basis is Dave doesn't like me and he doesn't like what I do about that, and she's feeling offended. So the next time I come and say something, even in a nice tone, she can't receive it. Or I might have got it wrong. I might have said something that was a bit out of line. And it starts to go around in her mind, and she can say, I choose to take that thought captive. What does she do? She puts it under the authority of Jesus Christ. She says, no, I am not going to allow that to control me. I am actually going to ask the power of God to actually transform my mind so that I don't run away with that thought. You see, if we want God to do the impossible and we want to be aligned, we've got to allow the power of God to align our thinking. You get to choose and take control of your thinking. And there's all sorts of ways I can go. Blokes, you know, like something pops up, you know, on the internet and you can go, oh, I'll think about that, I'll look at it, I'll go down there. Or you can actually say, yep, that's actually fired something up, but I'm going to place it under the authority of Christ in that moment and deal with it in that moment. Because if it grows and builds, it's much harder to deal with. Just before Christmas, I bought a new hedge trimmer. I had this old Bunnings hedge trimmer that was really cheap and it never worked very well, and you had to plug a cord into it. Anyway, at some point I tried to trim one of the fence posts with it, and it didn't work very well after that. And it was a pain of the thing. You had to get it out and get the cord out, find the extension cord, plug it in. So then, you know, then I went and bought. I had DeWalt drills, so then I went and bought a DeWalt hedge trimmer, and now I can just put my battery in and I can go out. Now we went through our garden because we had one of the kids' birthdays and a whole lot of work, and got the place sort of tidied up a little bit. And the hedges were looking really good. And what I've noticed is some of them, we've got these roses that, you know, in 2 weeks they can be trimmed up, and all of a sudden you've got shoots this long going up over the fence. But now what I can do is I've got easy access to my hedge trimmer, so I can just go and get it and quickly whiz along those things, and it's back neat again and it's all working and are wonderful hedges. You need that, don't you? But you see, sometimes that's the thing. When you actually deal with something right early on, when you say, I'm going to take every thought captive, you're actually getting control of that. You're bringing God into it before it becomes an out-of-control jungle like our garden or hedges can actually get to. You know, some of our minds become like out-of-control jungles. And my question, you know, we're trying to do all sorts of things and we're getting advice, and encourage that. Do what you need to do, but you know, at the heart of things, you've actually, if you want to be aligned, you've actually got to bring it under the authority of God. Yeah. Like some of it's like, God, my thinking stinks, it's going in bad places, I want to bring it under your authority right now. I guarantee you try that this week and you see what happens. If you have right belief, then your identity, then you will be able to identify wrong thinking and bring it under the power of Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit, listen to this, not of fear, but of power, love and self-control. Love that verse. Are you spirit-led? Is your mind being spirit-led? Or has it been fear-led? Because, you know, the miracle of salvation is that when we come into the kingdom of God, our spirit is made new and transformed. So you either let this new transformed spirit that is in connection with God, you either let that lead your mind, or you let all the other stuff lead your mind. And what if you let the other things lead your mind, what will it be? It'll be fear, and it'll be lack of discipline. Everything will be out of control, and you'll have a jungle up there. Other versions say sound mind rather than self-control. You see, I read this. I really liked what it said. It says, if our mind is sound and it is not cluttered up with the cares of the world, its processes start with God and end with God. It recognizes the power of God and His love for us. If our mind is sound, it is not cluttered. I can actually identify my actions when my mind becomes more cluttered. Like, I mean, I start forgetting things and I start doing all these things, and it's just because it gets too full. And I've actually got to go back and I've got to say, well, what am I carrying that I don't need? I want my mind to be decluttered, and the process of that starts with God and it ends with God. A sound mind recognises that we are completely under the authority of our God. It allows our mind to take charge of itself. See, people tell you, I can't control my thinking, but we can. And maybe we're flawed, but we've got the power of God to help us do that. And let's allow our mind to move to a place where we are in acceptance of the love and the power of God. All right, number three. I'm going to have to keep moving here. To live aligned with God and each other, we've got to align our heart. This is a biggie, because you can actually have your belief there. You can actually be sorting your thinking out, but, you know, just as a result of some of those things that we were talking about before, suddenly your heart is in a different place. And John 5:14 says, this is the confidence which we have before Him. If we ask for anything according to His will, He hears us. Who's ever felt like, oh, God doesn't seem to be hearing my prayers? Oh, I'm praying all this stuff and it just doesn't seem to be happening. You see, when our hearts are aligned with Him, what's the difference? We pray according to His will. See, the more your heart is aligned, the more your prayers will be aligned to God's will, and He can actually move in that. But sometimes we're praying according to our will and wondering why God can't move. It's like trying to drive a train which needs to go on railway tracks. It's like putting it on the road and just wondering why it can't go round the corners. When our hearts are aligned, we pray according to His will. It's possible to align yourself, but not your heart. For example, you might have been here, or you might have been the boss, but you might have an employee who might do the right things, but their heart's not in it. And a while back we talked about that thing, that quietly quitting that actually goes on. You know, people do what they need to do to get paid, but they don't have a heart for the company. People give lip service but not heart service. That's why, you know, we can be around the kingdom of God and we can be saying the right thing with our mouth, but there's something amiss in our heart. That's why it says, Proverbs says 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the wellspring. Anyway, I'm trying to mix two versions together. Let me read what's there. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Keep your heart is what we need to do. Not just, oh yeah, I'm going to look after my heart, but vigilance. In other words, you make it number one priority. You've actually got to say, if there's something going on in my heart here, I've actually got to guard it with everything that I can. See, governments and institutions go to great pains to guard their, you know, guard their installations, their plans, their secrets. And God warns us that it's even more important to guard our hearts, which will allow us, which is much more important to guard our hearts and what we allow to live in our minds. Who and what is alive in your heart? It's a pretty solid question, isn't it? Who and what's alive in your heart? See, King David in the Old Testament, when he had stuff going on in his heart that had caused him a lot of trouble, he comes back before God and he says, "O Lord, search my heart. Show me what's in there." I think that's probably... probably one of the rawest prayers you can pray. Show me what's in there, Lord. Am I ready to hear what's in there? To live aligned with God and each other. Number four, we've got to bring it all together. We've got to align our whole being. See, 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God says, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and they will be my people." You see, being aligned with God means that we understand that we are his temple and he resides in us, in our whole being. Does he agree? Here's some of the questions you can actually check with yourself. If you want to live aligned this year, if you want your life to be effective this year, if you want to have a life where God does stuff that he hasn't done in the past, let's ask these questions. Does he agree with what's in my mind? Does he agree with what's in my heart? Does he agree with what I take into my body? Does he agree with where my body's going? Does he agree with those things? It's about this you know, our society's full of being centered and grounded and holistic. Those words are big. Well, God started with that. He says it's about your whole being, you know. Does he agree with what's in your mind? Does he agree with what you take into your body? Does he agree with where your body goes? All those things are really, really big questions. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them." You see, our alignment will be manifest in our participation. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. Wow. All right. I've actually probably delivered some stuff that's fairly reasonably heavy and confronting. Who would feel that? I think if it's not heavy and confronting, we're sort of letting it wash over us. Because I'm not trying to pick out. I'm not trying to pick out the bad people here this morning. I'm not trying to challenge people that are doing so-called wrong things. I'm actually talking to myself. I'm talking to our humanity. I'm talking about the stuff that we all have going on. But if we want to live in alignment, we need to be bold enough and courageous enough to address those things. Here's the good news. The good news is God in his love and his grace and his understanding of you wants to meet you where you are and just start to bring you into alignment. For someone here, he's starting to align some hearts. Oh, there's some stuff in my heart. I'm passionate about it, but I just want to align it with God. It's probably not bad. It's just like, he says, I want to align that. Wow. Somebody else here. And it's our thinking. Just wish I could get my thinking right. And he says, I'll just meet you where you are. Right now. Right now, just pray a prayer. I don't need you to pray it loud, but just, Lord Jesus, I choose right now to take every thought captive and I bring it under your authority. Thank you, Lord. You're breaking down strongholds. You're breaking down arguments. Someone else here. Struggling with stuff that we take into our body. We all do that, don't we? It's easy for us to think about the big things, how much drugs and alcohol are around. Some of us just eat too much cake. I say that because it's all part of it. Lord, I want to align. I want to align my body. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Show me what I take in. I just want to pray for people right now. Lord, I thank you. You've given us authority over those things. You've given us authority over how much we eat. Given us authority over how much we drink, how much alcohol we take in. Given us authority over any substance that we would take into our body. And just break the power. Break the power of those things. Just pray that there'll be people here this morning that just feel themselves coming into alignment with you. Here's the biggie. It's align our belief. Just wondering, Al, can you and the team come up? I want you to lead us in all to Jesus. I surrender. And I just believe there are people here this morning, could be people online too. I don't want you to miss this, because the absolute key to living a life in alignment, a life where God can do the impossible with your possible. Is to align your belief. And this song we're about to sing says it better than anything else. All to Jesus, I surrender. I place my will, my heart, my thinking, my body, my whole self under His authority. I believe that He is the way, He is the truth, He is total life. So many of us here can testify to that, but maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never seen Jesus. I believe that You are the way, You are the truth, You are the life. There's no other way that I can be right with God. There's no other way that I can have security in this world and eternity to come, but through accepting the love, the grace of Jesus Christ when He died on the cross for our rebellion, for our rubbish, for all those things that are so contrary to what He calls us to. He paid the price for that. But we cannot receive it without the surrender. And this morning, if you're online, please send us a message and say, oh, that's me, I want to be part of that. But I just believe there's some people here this morning, you want to walk forward as we do this. It's not like I'm asking for hands, I'm actually asking for a bigger commitment. I'm saying, all to Jesus, I surrender. If you are, if you're battling with some belief this morning or hasn't ticked for you, just come forward. And I believe there's going to be a supernatural encounter with God as you do that this morning. So let's stand. Just as the team leaders, let's come and walk in to surrender with Jesus.
To Jesus I surrender.
Spirit. As we surrender right now, as we let go, come and fill that space. Thank you that you come gently. Come with love. Come with acceptance. But you also come with power. And we break down. We break down strongholds. We break down the power of twisted belief. We break down the power of wrong thinking. We break the power of things that would be harbored in our heart. Break the power of things that impact our bodies and our minds. And we bring it all under your authority. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We're going to pray for some people in a minute. I just believe that there is some stuff that's going on here. Tonight we've got our all-in night, and it's just so on my heart that I believe that we can see one of the most fruitful and impacting years that we've ever had as a church. But I believe that we so need to be aligned. So come along tonight and we're going to unpack some of these things. We're going to talk about vision. We're going to talk about how that works. But we can think, oh yeah, that's all right. Or we can say, you know what, I'm going to carry it in my heart. I'm going to engage at a heart level. I'd love you to be part of that. I'd love you to be part of that tonight. It's going to be a great night. Just have a seat. There's just one more thing I want to do before we finish here this morning. Are you here somewhere, Chris? Come and join us, Chris. So this week, I think probably something that's God's been speaking to Chris about for a while, we talked about. So Chris has felt that what God's calling him to and where we're going might be slightly different. Doesn't mean it's wrong. One way's wrong. It's just about where God's leading.